social media. Like a fan. The time is 16 minutes past 5 with Justin Dean. You are listening to Taking Care of Business here on Drive the Phone with Wandile Mazibuko. Now, South Africa's first ever Teaching Development Working Group ministerial meeting actually took place on African soil. The meeting took place at Kruger Safari Lodge in the Kruger National Park, here in Mpumalanga, from the 24th of July and the 25th of July. It was chaired by the Minister and the Presidency for Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, Minister Marobeni Ramokhaupa. Now, this afternoon, I'm proud and honored to be joined by the Minister to reflect back on some of the milestones of this particular historic meeting. Welcome, Minister Ramokhaupa, to Taking Care of Business here on Rise FM.
Good evening, and thank you so much for having us, and good evening, of course, to the listeners as well.
Minister, this was a very good week. I mean, maybe let's begin with the symbolism of hosting the G20 Development Working Group there, and in terms of the meeting itself on the African continent here in South Africa and in Mpumalanga. What does this ultimately underscore?
Of course, it was the first development working group meeting that actually took place on the East African soil. And it was so significant because it took place in Kukuza. So it just means that every time when the G20 development group meets, or even when the leaders development group meets in the future, they will always refer to the Kukuza declaration of the ministerial meeting that took place, of course, the group ministerial meeting that took place. So, therefore, this becomes significant in the sense that the Kukuza, Mpumalanga, and South Africa will always be in the history books of whatever it is that would be happening as it relates to G20. As we already know that G20 is actually the home of 80% of the GDPs of different countries in the world. So therefore, it holds the economy of the world, and it also holds over 70% of the population of the world. So you can then now understand how significant it is, or it was, for this meeting to actually take place in South Africa on the African soil, in Mpumalanga in particular. And most of all, it was the first ministerial meeting of the G20 that actually took place here in South Africa. So it had to set the tone of what to expect with other ministerial meetings that are going to follow in the other tracks, like the finance track, the shepherd's track, and the labor track that will be continuing to take place in the near future in South Africa.
Minister, I think we are honored to be the ones that are actually hosting here in this particular province. But I understand that the ministerial meeting achieved several landmark outcomes and adopted consensus in various areas. Can you take us through some of those milestones that were achieved?
Of course, the first milestone that we have achieved, it will be the what will be called, as I've already said, the 2025 G20 Kukuza Development Ministerial Declaration, that would then now be taken to the Leaders Summit that will be taking place in November this year. But of the important things that we have been able to achieve, and that will be in that particular declaration, will be the call to action on universal social protection system and social protection law, which of course we all know it would be to deal with the issues that would enable vulnerable communities to access healthcare, education, and as well as income security, including food and nutrition security. Yes, South Africa has been one of the countries that has been celebrated in terms of such things. However, the issue of ensuring that the work environment for women becomes something that South Africa needs to also improve on has been raised. So those are some of the issues that we've been able to bring forward. But also the call to action on combating illicit financial flows, that has been seen as one of the biggest deterrents to mobilizing domestic resources by developing countries and low-income countries, has actually been dealt with precisely because we have spoken about the issue of how governments that don't have capacity to actually deal with issues of collecting tax that will allow them to have their own resources to be able to deal with their own developmental agenda. So we have been able to talk about that, to say, how do we bring that capacity, but how do we also change the global tax regime to be able to speak to this, but equally so, how do we have countries of the global north playing a pivotal role in assisting developing countries in the south in particular, to be able to track those illicit flows of finances that is actually found in their countries that is supposed to assist them. And that has been raised precisely because there is something that is called the assistance that we get, in fact, from developed countries like the countries of the North, which amounts to almost $60 billion, whereas the illicit financial flows that actually leave our continent in particular amounts to almost $90 billion. So when people say that, you know, we cannot continue to be giving you money for your own development agenda, which then when you then now compare the money that leaves our country in an illicit way and the money that we are receiving from them, it's actually not, there's not even a balance there. So we have been able to say that, yes, let us put accountability as it remains to relate to the responsibility of the global north as it relates to development. But if that becomes a challenge, as we've seen in what has been happening recently globally, many countries of Europe not wanting to stick to their commitments as it relates to development funding, and other countries like US are wanting to change the global trade agreement. We are then now saying that assist us to get our money back that have left our shores in an illicit way, and that those monies are actually found in your own country. So those are some of the issues that we've been able to deal with and got concrete agreement and plans that we are going to be able to follow up on as it relates to what the G20 countries and the other countries that we have invited are going to be dealing with.
Lisa, I have to ask this particular question. The deadline for the tariffs in the US is 30% has been imposed on us by the 1st of August. We saw the Citrus Growers Association writing to the president today, your minister and the presidency, indicating that they want some kind of intervention. Is there some kind of framework in as far as that trade agreement is concerned? Can you avert this particular 30% tariff from the US?
Unfortunately, the U.S. is a sovereign country on its own, and we do have the WTO agreement and framework that we have always worked on, but they have withdrawn from that. As a result, then we cannot take them to task as it relates to those agreements that are found in the WTA that we had with them. However, negotiations are still continuing between South Africa and USA as the second biggest trading partner that we have after China. But what South Africa has also been able to do is to come up with modalities of finding new markets and reimagining how SACU, the Southern African Customs Union, how SACU actually operates, and who else can we then now be able to partner with in terms of free trade and trade agreements as SACU outside what we were used to. As much as we're still investing a lot in making sure that we regain the relationship that we had with USA, but we have then now been able to say, how does SACU as a union itself, that includes us as South Africa and us as South Africa, probably contributing 80% of whatever it is that is happening there because we're the most industrialized country of SACU, then how do we then now bring other countries? During this particular meeting that we had countries like China, countries like Singapore, countries like Saudi Arabia saying that how do we improve our relationship and become a market for you on products that probably you used to actually trade with a USA. How do we bring them into our own shores so that you can diversify your market while you are still trying to actually improve your relationship with USA? Because USA is very important South Africa, and we must stress that.
Yeah.
It is for this reason that South Africa will continuously use diplomatic channels to be able to improve the relationship to go back to what it used to be.
Mm. The time is 26 minutes past 5, just thinking, I am talking to the Minister and the Presidency for Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. You are listening to Taking Care of Business here on Rise FM with one DM. Now, Minister, just in closing, we do understand that the official documents were also adopted at that ministerial meeting that took place here in the Mpumalanga province. What's next for the working group?
Of course, what is next, as I've already said, is to ensure that our text from our declaration finds more expression in the leadership statements that will actually come and declaration that will come out in November. However, one of the biggest things that we have been able to achieve, and which I'm really proud of, is that we've been able to put in place what is called Ubuntu Commission of Access, that will then now take forward some of this proposal on international cooperation as it relates to global public goods and its own financing, because global public goods speaks about what is it that needs to be done as it relates to our responsibility, whether you are talking about technological advancement of the world, or you are talking about preparedness of pandemics, or even climate change. So we've been able to take that forward, and the work has already started because we had commitments that were put in place and signatures that were actually attached by different countries, most especially countries with big economies like Germany and France, that said that we are saying that we want to be part of that and we are going to take it forward with South Africa. So South Africa will remain a permanent member of the Ubuntu Commission on Access, on ensuring that these things that I've just spoken about on global public goods are actually becoming a permanent feature as it relates to G20 and its own countries and all the other countries that we had invited into this meeting that we had.
Minister, it's such a pleasure to talk to you here on Taking Care of Business. Please do enjoy the rest of your afternoon, ma'am.
Thank you so much. You have a good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that was the Minister in the Presidency for Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, Minister Mabopane Ramakgopa, just basically reflecting on that G20 milestones in the Kruger National Park that took place on Thursday and Friday last week. Obviously, it was chaired by the Minister herself. It took place at Kruger Safari Lodge. Just basically reporting back on that G20 Development Working Group ministerial meeting that took place for the first time on African soil there, and giving us some of those insights and some of the things that could have come out from there. The time is 29 minutes past 5, and just continuing, obviously.